touchdown. This felt like an easy six. Defense is retreating quick. No, I got that cannon on me and receivers on the whim. Welcome pressure, where's a blitz? Not afraid to take the risk. Swear to
God. What's up? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Drop Balls Podcast. Your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. Yes, you heard me right. I said your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. It's glad to be back behind the mic, man. Y'all know last week I didn't drop an episode because I was on vacation. I went back home to Jacksonville, Florida to visit my pops, my stepmom, as well as visit some of my cousins on my mom's side because, you know, that's where me and my mom are from. My dad and my stepmom just live down there. They bought a house down there, so they moved to Jacksonville. But I got to go home, take my son back home with me. He got to see some of his cousins, enjoy his time with his cousins, spend time with my pops and everything. And we had a good old time. And I got a story for y'all on the whole event getting down there. But before we get into this episode, let me start with a little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go to the ratings and review section and leave your boy a 5-star rating, as well as leave me a review. Let me know what you think about the show, whether you like it, whether you dislike it. If you like it, you know, say it loud that you like the show. But, you know, as Damian Adams says, if you don't like it, don't say it as loud. Just, you know, keep it on the low a little bit for your boy. But yeah, just let me know what you all think about the show. Also, if you're listening on Spotify, they have a rating section as well. So please go ahead and leave your boy a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. And no matter where you're listening at, whether it's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts at, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast, as well as share the podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody you know that loves sports just as much as you and I do. Just please be sure to share the podcast with them so that way we can continue to grow the podcast and we can continue to push the information out there. Because I feel like I give good information. I feel like, you know, I do a decent job. You know, with sharing my perspective on things. So go ahead and please put that out there for your boy. And let's help grow the show. Now, let's get into this episode, man. So first, you know, I want to talk to y'all about just getting down to Florida, man. So me and my son left on the 23rd, I believe, of July. Whichever day that Saturday was. I want to say it was the 23rd. Yeah, we left on the 23rd of July. It was Saturday. We left the house around 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in Seattle, right? So we leave the house around 3 o'clock in the morning. The plane doesn't leave until about, I think, 5:15 or something like that in the morning. So we get to the airport, you know, get through security and everything, and we finally get to the gate. Flight from here to Atlanta goes perfectly fine. Everything's copacetic and everything. We're good to go, right? And we get to Atlanta around like 1:30 in the afternoon, Eastern time. And the next flight is supposed to be, I think, 4:45. My flight got delayed, I want to say, about 8 times. So we got there at 1:30. We get to the gate, and I'm like, I'm hungry, you know, let me go get something to eat. My son was hungry, so we went to TGI Fridays. It was right there by the gate. We went to TGI Fridays. I got me, you know, got me a beer, got me some wings, got my son something, and, you know, all of that. So we chilling, eating. Then I get the notification that the flight has been delayed. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. It was only delayed by like an hour. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, I ain't tripping. So we get back to the gate. We chilling. And then next thing you know, they're telling us to switch gates. So we go to another gate. And this is what happened, like, over and over and over and over and over. Sound like Marshawn Lynch, but you get the picture. Over and over again. And this happened about 8 times until about 11:30 at night, right? Before the flight was finally canceled. So, you know, I have family in Atlanta, but the thing was is that, you know, the flights only got delayed by like an hour or so. So I'm just like, all right, cool. You know, I'm not going to call family to come up here and pick me up or anything. Because there's only hour, like, it just kept getting delayed by an hour. So it wouldn't have been a point to leave the airport at that time. So we get to our last gate change, and they're saying, okay, we got a plane, we got a crew, the plane is here. We just got to get a cleaning crew on the plane. After everybody, you know, gets off of the plane, We got to get a cleaning crew on the plane, and then we're going to get y'all to y'all destination. We're going to get y'all to Jacksonville. So I'm like, all right, cool. We good. We good to go. This is around 10:30 at night. Time goes by. It's 11 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, Braden, you hungry? I'm hungry. Let's go see if we can find something to eat, dog. And at that point, everything was pretty much closed. So we just went to the little convenience store that's in the airport, got us some snacks, got us some water and everything just to, you know, snack on and chill while we wait for them to clean the plane. And then we can get on there. So I get back to the gate, and on the little screen, it says flight canceled. Now, I'm just sitting there like, what the hell happened between the time me and him got up to go find something to eat until we got back? So, you know, I'm asking people, and instead of the Delta gate agent telling us, like, you know, what's going on, she's sitting there whispering to people that's coming up to the desk rather than getting on the intercom and letting everybody know, hey, the flight's canceled because da-da-da-da-da, right? So eventually, you know, people started getting upset because they're like, what's going on? Like, why is the flight canceled? You're not telling us anything. You're not giving us any information. So she catches an attitude. Then she finally gets on the intercom and tells everybody, well, the flight is canceled because we couldn't get another flight attendant on the, you know, for the flight. We needed another flight attendant. And the flight attendant didn't show up. They couldn't get anybody. Now, mind you, Delta is Atlanta's hub, or Atlanta is Delta's hub city, right? Like, that's where everybody is pretty much at that works for Delta, right? They live in other places, but I'm saying that's the hub city for Delta. Atlanta is the hub city for Delta. So to tell us that you couldn't get another flight attendant in, and we're in the hub city for Delta, is kind of crazy, right? So we're waiting, and she lets us know that they couldn't get another flight attendant, so they had to cancel the flight. Me personally, I understand there's federal laws, there's regulations that they have to abide by. Me personally, I was like, bruh, y'all can just put us on the plane. I don't need a flight attendant. I don't need nothing to drink. I don't need nothing to eat. I don't need none of that. It's a 45-minute flight from Atlanta to Jacksonville. Just get us on the damn plane and get us to Jacksonville. That's all I care about. I don't want nothing to eat. I don't want to drink. I don't want nothing. I just want to fly to Jacksonville because I'm supposed to see my oldest sister. I haven't seen her in like 7, 8, 9 years. It's been a while since I've seen my older sister. So she was in Jacksonville with her boyfriend. She was visiting my pops, and she was there to visit me and meet my son because she hasn't met him either. So, you know, we supposed to be doing all of that. They canceled the flight. She's late telling us about things. And then she tells us go to another gate. She's like, everybody that's supposed to be on this plane, go to gate A, I believe it's like A7 or something like that. So all of us pick up our stuff, get some of us who have kids, we get our kids, hey, let's go. We got to go down here. We get down there. That gate says the flight is going to Tampa, right? So we just stop right there. We're like, all right, so what the hell is going on? Because this says Tampa. This doesn't say it's going to Jacksonville. So like, what's really going on? The gate attendant there, he gets on the little intercom system. He's like, if you're not going to Tampa, there's no reason for you to be down here. If your flight got canceled, you need to go to the Delta help desk. So mind you, the gate I was just at, that's where the help desk was right across from that gate. So we all walk back down there, and this line for the help desk is from that gate to like gate A1 or something like that. So it's just a long ass line, right? It's about 11:30 at night at this point, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night at this point. And mind you, the woman who sent us down on a wild goose chase to another gate, she's gone. She's no longer there. She sent us down there to take the heat off of her. And she didn't tell us like if we wanted to get our bags, if we wanted to cancel the flights, if we wanted to get a hotel. She didn't tell us any of that, like how to do any of that. So some of us are just standing there. We didn't get in line because we're like, man, fuck that. Excuse my language. We're not dealing with this. Like, we're not about to get in this line. We're about to figure something out. They did rebook our flights. And, you know, that was whatever. They did rebook our flights without really kind of like telling us what's going on. They just rebooked the flights for everybody. But then they get on the intercom at the Delta help desk and they're like, look, we can't give out any more hotel vouchers because all the hotels are full. So people start really going off at that point because it's like, what the hell, dog? Like, y'all ain't tell us nothing. Can y'all at least tell us how to get our bags? And they told us that you know, you're not going to get your bags. Your bags are going to be on the flight that we rebooked for y'all. Your bags are going to be on that flight going out tomorrow. So I'm like, you know what? It's a five and a half, six hour drive from Atlanta to Jacksonville. I'm going to just rent a car and I'm going to drive down to Jacksonville. Me and my son, we hike up to the rental car places, and all the cars are booked out. Like, all the cars are sold out pretty much. So there's no rental cars. I call some hotels. There's no hotel rooms, which, I mean, they already told us that, but, you know, I had to double check. I called the hotels, no hotel rooms. So so I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do because, I mean, and mind you, even though I couldn't get my bag, so I didn't have my son's car seat. So I was going to have to go to Walmart, buy a new car seat if I was going to be able to drive. I was going to go to Walmart, buy a new car seat, get my son something to eat, and we was going to hit the road. But that didn't happen. So I'm calling around hotels. Nobody has anything available that's within, like, the distance, the vicinity of the airport. So I'm just like, all right, we're just going to go back to the terminal. We're going to go to the gate that we're supposed to go to tomorrow or be at tomorrow for our flight. And we're just going to sleep there. So we go get something to eat out the vending machine because my son's hungry again. So now we're sitting on the floor. He's eating. We end up falling asleep, waking up the next morning. And I go to the help desk again. And I'm like, look, man, I've been here since 1:30 p.m. yesterday. Can y'all get me on an earlier flight than an 11 o'clock flight that's going out this afternoon? Can y'all get me on an earlier flight? They put us on standby for the 9:40 flight. And we end up getting on the plane. And we get down to Jacksonville by 10. My sister and her boyfriend are gone at this point because they had to get back to North Carolina. So they're gone. And, to be stuck in the airport from 1:30 p.m. to 9:40 the next day, almost 24 hours, we're stuck at the Atlanta airport. And we got to my dad came and picked us up. I'm like, look, dog, I don't have my luggage. They had to send my luggage to my dad's house because the luggage wasn't there because we got on an earlier flight. So it left with the flight that I was supposed to take that afternoon or whatever. But I told my dad, I'm like, look, man, I ain't hungry. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to go to Walmart, go get some, you know, some shorts, some T-shirts, some basketballs or some shorts, some T-shirts, some socks and some underwear and some soap and stuff so I could take a shower, clean my ass, and just relax. And I was supposed to go to my cousin's house that day as well because they was having a barbecue. Didn't make it over there because, bro, I was tired as hell. But that whole experience was just trash. The only thing they gave us was they gave us two $200 e-credits for Delta. So they gave me $200, gave my son $200. It was all on my account, though, because, of course, I'm the one that purchased the tickets. But they did that. And then I had to submit my receipt for the clothes that I bought because I had to buy myself clothes and I had to buy my son clothes. So I submitted my receipts as a complaint to Delta because y'all going to reimburse me for that because there's no reason like any of this should have happened. And come to find out that day they had canceled 200 plus flights just that day. So that's even crazy in itself. So that's why the rental cars were sold out. That's why all the hotel rooms were booked up. Like, that's why everything was so crazy. And it was just a hassle. Just the way they handled it, the customer service from Delta was trash. And I'm not necessarily talking about the people I talked to over the phone, but the people at the airport, the gate attendant and stuff like that, they were just trash because they weren't helpful. They didn't let you know what needed to happen next. They didn't let you know what was going on next. They were just trash, man. The customer service was terrible. And you can't catch an attitude with people that have been stuck in the airport since 1:30 that afternoon. And they've been in the airport for over 11. They've been in the airport for, over 10 hours. And you can't catch an attitude with them when you promise them that you're going to get them on the flight and get them to Jacksonville. And then you cancel the flight and then you don't give them any information. Like, you can't catch an attitude with them for that. So, you know, all of that, that whole situation was trash. And, you know, if anybody's listening, hey, share this story so that way Delta can give me something better than what they gave me because I need more. I need more for that. I don't think people understand the stress of having a six-year-old with you being stuck in the airport all freaking day. Like, I don't think people understand that. Well, people without kids, I don't think they understand that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But we're going to take our first break, and then when we get back, we're going to get into this NFL stuff. There's a lot of things that have happened these past few weeks, and we're going to get into that. So we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we'll get into all that stuff.
Hey, this is from Texas. Say, I'm on the move like pimps looking for bottom bitches. Say you hot as Victor, our thermometer's gotta be different. And women just want the camaraderie with them. I'm busting them out and tell her that she gotta be kidding. Okay, I'm joking just a little bit. You niggas stupid and disrespecting, have bullets going around you like you're hula hooping. I'm never losing to clear it up if it is confusion. Had a hard time in this life and it's my restitution. So I gotta get my shit back. It's my turn, so get back. Why you looking at me? I don't know where your bitch at. Broke her off like a Kit Kat. Chris Paul assist that. Me and my niggas did that. You get that? I'm on her. The biggest marijuana consumer, and I'm the shit like a motherfucking Odell rumor. Hotel rooming with your wife saying that she don't do this. We all get betrayed in this life, I swear to Judas. And I ain't even saying I'm nice, but I'm the truest. You Stacy when it come to the dash, you niggas clueless. And you ain't eating out the biggest bowl. This a layup every time, getting buckets off the pick and roll. Dragon Ball Green, yeah, my pocket so I'm piccolo. Bitch with me got a little ass, but a titty swole. So I know the city though. Nah, we ain't playing. If you come around acting, get shot like a video. Ain't shit funny, no Eddie Arsenio. In the wood like Big Mike and Lavinio. Y'all niggas minimal, but my shit critical. And I don't think you niggas matter, my shit pivotal. Really though, I've been going off for a minute. I don't really do the foreigns, it's a lack if I'm in it. No games being played, I be packing for the business. And me and you can't relate, I be actually winning. Really my life, this is how I'm actually living. And niggas hating on me hard, got me maximum grinning. I got a roof on them, I don't give a 100 to the peons. Since 21, hot stepping like Dion. This the shit he on. A nigga spit cold in the summertime, swear every ball like Freon. Infinity and beyond is where I'm headed. They write about me in the blogs and I know you read it. And my pockets on Panko, you know they bred it. Niggas hating with the volume low, I know they said it. And I ain't playing about them dollar bills. A nigga headed to the top but still knowing how the bottom feels. Sip with the cup on mud, I pop a lot of seals. Glock 9 COD, it got a lot of kills. Niggas ain't fucking with me and that's a lot of real. Old niggas say they don't like me but how they daughter feel. But I'ma chill, they don't want that Vic. They know I've been on fire, they don't want that bitch. I'm like a dog outside, how I keep that stick. And niggas wait until I leave just to pop they shit. It's like that, that, that.
All right, so we back from that quick little break. And that was another song by my dog, VZ. That was Where My Eyes Can See. Y'all be sure to check him out on Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere you listening to music at. Be sure to check my dog out. The dog, he's tough, dog. Like, for real. Be sure to check him out. He got some more stuff coming your way as well. So be sure to tap in. But let's get back to let's get to the NFL, man. Let's get to this NFL stuff. A lot has happened over the past few weeks since I last recorded my podcast. One of the biggest things that has happened, and I guess this happened last week, was Julio Jones signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, I love to see it. And the reason is because now the rumors for him coming to the Indianapolis Colts can just cease. That can stop. And now we can get some new rumors of maybe OBJ coming to the Indianapolis Colts. That's a potential right there. So y'all be sure to look out. You heard it here. Be sure to look out for that. OBJ may be coming to the Colts. I've seen a few sources talk about OBJ coming to the Indianapolis Colts. So if that happens, y'all know I'm going to be insufferable on Twitter or whatever. Y'all know I'm going to go crazy. But anyway, so Julio Jones gets to the Buccaneers, and I really like this for Julio. Now, I've told y'all multiple times, I do think Julio is towards the tail end of his career. But with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so the issue I like this for Julio better than I like him for the Colts is because here with the Buccaneers, Julio doesn't have to be the first or second option. He's going to be like the third or fourth option because you have a receiver in Mike Evans or Chris Godwin who are the one and two options for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not only that, but I believe they have another receiver that they signed this offseason that's going to be up there as well. I have to look real quick, but I believe they do have another receiver that's going to be up there as well. So that makes him like I said, the third or fourth option. So yeah, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Russell Gage. So Julio, he doesn't really have to do much. If Julio racks off maybe 700 yards and a few touchdowns, that's good for them. But I think he does add a dynamic to that team. And once again, this is something I called back in March of this year. I said, watch Julio go to the Buccaneers with Tom Brady, or watch Tom Brady recruit Julio to the Buccaneers, and they win a Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl is still TBD, but Julio is now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I called it, and it happened. So, you know, I'm glad to see him in a situation to where he can most likely thrive, and he can probably stay healthy this season, because he's not asked of much. He's not going to be demanded of much. He's just going to be demanded to do, I mean, just to do a couple things for the squad. So, like, because like I said, he's going to be the third or fourth option, and that's good for him. Now, in other news, bigger news, Judge Sue Robinson came down with her verdict on the Deshaun Watson stuff, or not stuff, but the Deshaun Watson allegations for his suspension with the NFL. So she suspended him 6 games. She did admit that what he did violates the league's personal conduct policy. Not only that, but what he did is pretty much egregious. You know, it meets the actions for sexual assault and everything under the CBA for the NFL. Now, the league was pushing for 17 games for an indefinite suspension for 1 year. Now, the thing with that, though, is what she said was that there hasn't really been any other cases, you know, like this in the NFL. The only one you can really kind of compare this to is Big Ben with his two rape charges, his rape cases. I guess they both got settled, but that's the only thing you can really compare Deshaun Watson's egregious acts to, right? Now, he didn't rape anyone, but it's closer than what other people are trying to relate things to. So, like, people are trying to compare this to Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, which those two things violated two different things under that CBA. Deshaun Watson's violates the personal conduct policy. D-Hop violated the performance-enhancing drug policy. And I think Calvin Ridley, it wasn't a personal conduct policy issue. It was just a gambling issue. And it was it messed with the integrity of the league. That's pretty much what that did. So these are comparing apples and oranges. Like I said, the one you can compare it is the Big Ben rape allegations and Deshaun Watson. Those are the two that you can compare. But she said that there hasn't at the precedent at the level of his, because I think it's like 24 or 30 women that have come out saying that he sexually assaulted them when they were giving him a massage, which is weird within itself. Why do you need all those women rubbing all on you or whatever? But anyway, nonetheless, she gave him 6 games. She said that that under the personal conduct policy, she couldn't do more than that. She couldn't give him more than 6 games. And not only that, but the league only provided, I think, 5 cases to her, or 4 or 5 cases to her, to where, because those were the most bulletproof cases. Like, those were the most bulletproof ones where, you know, there was no holes in those stories, or, you know, the allegations. So they gave him 6 games. And Deshaun and his people, the NFLPA, they said they wasn't going to appeal it. And the NFL the other day actually ended up appealing it. And so Roger Goodell had the chance to appoint another judge to oversee the appeal. So I think it was just yesterday on Thursday, he appointed Peter C. Harvey, who's a former attorney general in New Jersey. So, and he's also handled some cases for the NFL previously. So the league is still pushing for a 17-game suspension. Personally, I mean, I believe that's what they want, but I do believe that because of the backlash and everything they've received, from Deshaun signing with the Browns or getting traded to the Browns to the 6-game suspension and all of that, that the league is doing this not necessarily for optics. Maybe they did find some moral ground. That's hard for me to believe, because ever since the league has been established, I haven't really seen, well, ever since I've been watching football, I haven't seen the NFL be moral about anything, really. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that they're doing this because of morals. I believe they're doing it for optics. It's not a publicity stunt, but It's a PR move, right? It's a PR move. Now, will Judge Peter C. Harvey change the ruling? I don't know. Will he change the suspension? I have no idea. But I do know that I believe, well, what I believe, not I do know because it's not a fact, but what I do believe is that if they do hand down an indefinite suspension, this will end up going to federal court because Deshaun Watson and his legal team, I believe, will sue the NFL over the indefinite suspension for 1 year. And so now if that happens, as long as these proceedings go on, Deshaun Watson will be able to play this season unless he gets put on the commissioner exempt list. Now, will that happen? I don't know. But like I said, as long as these proceedings go on, Deshaun can start week one. Now, this is the thing for me. Like, I really don't understand the Browns, and I don't understand if they really did their due diligence on this whole Deshaun Watson case, because it just seems, all of this just seems hella weird, right? Like, it seems hella weird. They sign him, or they trade for him. They say they did their due diligence. They did their own investigation, and they're good to go. But then, you know, with the league investigation and the evidence that the league presented to the judge, it just seems like it just seems like, hey, Deshaun, did you do it? No? Okay, we're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. We're going to send these four first-round picks for Deshaun and whatever for Deshaun Watson. That's just what it seems like to me from the outside looking in. I could have this 100% wrong, but that's just what it looks like. That's the optics from the outside looking in. I mean, that's my opinion. Just like it's my opinion that the league is only doing this for PR. Like they're only doing this to have good, like, you know, to have good press on their side. So I don't know if they're expecting it to really be indefinite suspension, or if they're actually going to just go after some of his money. Now, I believe with the appeal, they can take games away and they can add games on. So I think the league is really playing they're playing with fire in this case, because if Peter C. Harvey comes back and he's like, well, he looks at Big Ben and he's like, well, his got reduced from 6 to 4, and he decides, okay, well, we're going to reduce Deshaun's to 4 games. Then that's going to, you know what I mean? Like, you get what I'm saying? So it seems like they're kind of playing with fire here, but we'll see what the outcome is. You know, they have about a month before the season actually starts, before the real game starts. Right now we're in preseason, so they have about a month before the real games start. So we'll see what happens with that. Moving on, Kyler Murray, man. So there was something put in his new contract, because, you know, he signed his contract extension. There was language put in his new contract that he had to have 4 hours of independent study, which they sent in the man to study hall. Now, this broke wind all over the internet, all over ESPN, and then the Cardinals end up taking it out of the contract. And Kyler Murray was, you know, he pretty much got up and was like, it's crazy for y'all to think that that they did that because I don't, you know, I don't do my homework. I don't study. I don't watch film and stuff like that, because I being my height, being my size, I don't get to where I'm at without studying, without, you know, preparing. But, you know, listen, man, like, from the optics, it's not crazy to believe that, okay, they don't believe that you're putting the work in outside of the facility. Because, I mean, every year we see him he does pretty good, and then he slowly declines as the season goes on, and you see the team slowly get worse. Just like last year, they start off really hot, then they started declining. And then they go into the playoffs, and they get this. He has a terrible game against the Los Angeles Rams. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe you're not preparing like you're supposed to. That's just how the optics look. I mean, and from the normal fan, that's what it looks like. Now, one thing I will say, I don't know if this whole thing is the Cardinals trying to paint the scapegoat. If the season goes bad this year, they make Kyler Murray look like the scapegoat. Because not only that, but I believe today I read something that said that what's their head coach name? I'm blanking right now. Their head coach. Oh man, I'm blanking on the head coach's name. Hold on, give me a second, y'all. God dang, Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury came out and said that he was going to let Kyler call plays through the headset, because, you know, Kyler's out because he has COVID or whatever. They're gonna let him call plays through the headset or whatever, just so he can get a grasp of how difficult calling plays in the NFL is. Because apparently Cliff Kingsbury will send plays in. Kyler Murray will shake his head in disappointment of the play, and like he doesn't want to run it or something. From my viewpoint, it looks like they're saying he's uncoachable. He doesn't put in the work. He doesn't get it. Now I don't know if that's true. Like I said, it looks like they're trying to paint him as a scapegoat if the season goes downhill, which they have a tough schedule. If y'all go back and look at their schedule, their first few games are very tough. The Arizona Cardinals have a really tough schedule. So I don't know. It just seems like it kind of seems like they're trying to paint him as a scapegoat. But at the same time, maybe Kyler Murray isn't preparing the way he's supposed to prepare. I mean, he's talented, but there's possibility he could be a lot better than what he is. And maybe they see that and they see that he's not preparing the way he's supposed to prepare. And that's why they put the 4 hours of study hall in there. That's why that's why Cliff Kingsbury said, OK, well, you go call plays since you think it's so easy, because he's just not getting it. So I don't know. And not only that, but sometimes those things stick with you throughout your career. So hopefully he can bounce back and he can erase that stigma. He can erase those depictions of him, the optics that is being painted of him at this point. So, you know, as my boy DG would say, the ocular evidence of whatever, you know, everything looked ocular. The ocular evidence shows that he doesn't prepare properly. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the whole Kyler Murray situation going forward. We'll see how he plays this season. Last night we had the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Raiders Hall of Fame game. And although I know there wasn't any starters on the field besides maybe Josh Jacobs, maybe there was a few starters, but for the Jacksonville Jaguars, mostly there was no starters. Same for the Oakland Raiders, just the Hall of Fame game, right? Like each of them have 4 preseason games at this point because of the Hall of Fame game. And just from the way it looked, like the Jaguars look like they're going to suck again. They didn't look good. And these are people like Laquan Treadwell even played yesterday and they just didn't look good. And these are people that are rookies, cause Chad Muma played, you have rookies, you have some veterans in there. These are kind of like fringe guys and rookies. And I guess, cause you know, they gotta make those cuts before the season starts. So it's one of those things where, I don't know, Jacksonville just didn't look good. The Raiders look like they were clicking. They look like Josh McDaniels looks like he has them firing on all cylinders. But I don't know because the starters weren't in. I can only go based off with who they put in the game, who they played in those games last night. But they look pretty good. Now, you know, this is Josh McDaniels' second stint as a head coach. He was the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and the Denver Broncos were terrible. He was terrible as a head coach with the Denver Broncos. And this team may be more talented, so we'll see what happens with the Raiders going forward if they're able to you know, if he's able to capitalize on the talent that he has for the Las Vegas Raiders. So who knows? Josh McDaniels, you know, some people don't get second chances. He ended up getting one. So we'll see what happens, man. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Seahawks. We're going to talk about the Seahawks and talk about what they're building up here in Seattle. But we'll be right back.
They say I'm complicated, I'm not too easily figured out. But I know they love to hate me, because I be taking a different route. I got this little bitch I be digging out, she a fool with that head, she be wigging out. For any nigga that be running his mouth, for victim them bullets, I kick him out. Now let me get back on my rap shit, I be putting these verses in caskets. A young nigga working his magic, till my name hanging up in the rafters. I be going forward, never backwards, money only thing that matters. That's why it's all in the mattress, my shit is crafted. I gotta roll me a fatty, just to get ready for ad-libs. Who on my level? All of these niggas is puppets, so show me straight to your Geppetto. I'm by the Donetto, Roberts if I was specific. Bitch, I don't wait, I go get it. I got my mind on a million. If we don't see eye to eye, then it's fuck how you feeling. I must be radically different. If you think these niggas heroes, I must be a villain. I'm all in your lobby and all in your villain. I kill everybody, sell women and children. These niggas is hating on me from the sideline. Like I got them in my vision. Bitch, I'm a G, I don't need no revision. Favorite hood nigga that wasn't in kitchens. Haters be talking, I seldomly listen. Bitch, I hear in comments, so add up them digits. Like, I get it dick to your bitch, she like, I take a hit of the spliff, I'm like, I got a motive to do what I want. They see
see the glasses and think I'm a punk. If you don't run, I just shoot from the front. My shit like Vince, the way that it jump. I'm not convinced you niggas is tough, so I'm on the fence.
They say I'm complicated. I'm not too easily figured out, but I know they love to hate me, because I be taking a different route. I got this little bitch I be digging out, she a fool with that head, she be wigging out. For any nigga that be running his mouth, for victim and bullets, I kick him out. Yeah, they be threatened by the rhyme schemes, pen and paper, how the mind bleeds. Niggas deers in the headlights, caught these niggas in the high beams. They be stunting for them live feeds, I'm too worried about my wallet eating. Ride slab, fuck European, I bought a Sprite to put syrup in. Smoking loud, you can hear it screaming, flexing on them like Willie Beeman. Money moves, I stay scheming, whole squad straight dream teaming. Air horn with my whip beeping, chick magnet, bitch beacon. Wrist cold like six freezers, pay for no whip leases. Call the laws, I'm hitting Keisha, Spanish bras, no senoritas. Never needed help from the hopefuls, killing shit when I lay the vocals. Burning shit like broke toasters, niggas hating, that's so hoish. Tunnel vision, I just stay focused, they don't wanna see me make it. Tryna undermine my greatness, I've been known for making statements. Basically this what I'm saying, I ain't asking for a bitch ass thing. I'ma just walk up and take it, bet I'm amazing. All of these hoes wanna fuck me, plus all these niggas is lucky. Be glad that I just don't pull up on niggas like babies with diapers and infants with huggies. They sound complicated, I'm not too easily figured out, but I know they love to hate me, because I be taking a different route. I got this little bitch I be digging out, see a fool with that head, she be wigging out. For any nigga that be running his mouth, for victim and bullets, I kick him out.
All right, so we back from that quick little break, and that song, again, it was from VZ. That was Rolling Peace. Once again, y'all be sure to go check that out. But, you know, let's get into these Seattle Seahawks. Y'all know how I feel about Seattle. And now the time has come where there's no more Russell Wilson. We all know Russell Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos for Drew Lock, I believe some picks, and Noah Fant. So it seems like, you know, everybody, I mean, I believe everybody knows this, or this is, you know, public knowledge, that Russ and Pete had some friction. Some people say it stemmed from after that Super Bowl, but, you know, they went on to play a lot of more years together, or not play a lot of more years together, but, you know, that relationship lasted a lot longer after that Super Bowl, you know, that pass play that was called on the goal line. But a lot of people say that's where the friction started. But last year, we could really see it boiling, because remember after the 2021 or the 2020 season, when the 2020 season, where all of the information came out about, you know, maybe Russ potentially getting traded, all this and all that. And then Pete Carroll was like, they want him here, this, that, and the third. And then a year later, of course, Russ gets traded, especially after the year that happened last year. They weren't that good of a football team. Russ put up some pretty good numbers, but I mean, he would still look kind of meh. So, you know, he ended up getting traded. Denver gave up a lot for him and everything. And so now we start this new time, or this new, we started a new place with the Seattle Seahawks. You know, it's a new day for Seattle. The Russ era is over and they're moving forward. So now they have Drew Lock and Geno Smith as quarterback. And really, I thought they would have picked up Baker Mayfield, but I guess they didn't want to take on that money. There's still a possibility for them to get Jimmy Garoppolo, but we'll see what happens there. But as of right now, it's Drew Lock versus Geno Smith in the quarterback battle on who's going to be the starter for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Noah Fant says he loves what he's seen so far in, you know, Drew Lock since he's gotten to the new place, since he's gotten up to Seattle. And now he's with the offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, who's, this is his second year with the Seattle Seahawks. Remember last year he was hired from the Los Angeles Rams. And so now this is the second year with the Seahawks where he's able to really implement his offense. Last year, they had a different offensive line coach. This year they promoted their running back coach, Andy Dickerson, who came over with Shane Waldron. They promoted him to O-line coach this year. He was the run game. Not he wasn't a running back coach. He was the run game coordinator last year. So now he's the offensive line coach. And you could see, you know, because with Andy Dickerson, you know, and Shane Waldron, the offense requires more athletic offensive linemen. And you can see that with this draft that they did this year when they drafted Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas in the draft this year. They wanted to get more athletic on the outside, you know, the tackles. They wanted to get more athletic out there. And that's what they did. And that's what he requires. Now, the old offensive line coach, he wanted those big bodies, those maulers, those dudes that are just get a hold of you and just drive you into the dirt. That's what he wanted. Andy Dickerson and Shane Waldron, they require more athletic offensive linemen, you know, to open up holes and get out in space to block for the running back and different things, you know, just do different things. But another notable thing is that tight end usage goes up with Shane Waldron. We saw that last year. Russ started to use his tight ends a little bit more. And that's what Shane Waldron's offense provides for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm looking for Noah Fant to have a really big year this year, as long as the quarterbacks can get him the ball. I'm looking for Noah Fant to have a pretty good year. Now, Seattle, I think they're a lot closer in their rebuild than people think. I think they're a lot closer to where they need to be than what people think. They've addressed offensive line this offseason. Like I said, they drafted Charles Cross and they drafted Abraham Lucas. I was about to say Abraham Lincoln. I'm tripping. Abraham Lucas, they drafted both of those dudes, one right tackle, one left tackle, of course. Then they went and got Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State. They drafted him this year as well. So you get your running back, you get two offensive linemen to solidify your tackle positions. And like I said, I think they're a lot closer in their rebuild than people are really giving them credit for, or people really think they, you know, really think. They drafted Boye Mafe, the defensive end. They got Kobe Bryant, cornerback out of Cincinnati. Tariq Woolen, cornerback out of UTSA. Now, Tariq, he's a very raw product. He's athletic as hell, but he's very raw at the cornerback position. And what I think is that's a good fit for Pete Carroll, because he can mold Tariq to be the type of corner he wants him to be. He can get his alignments right, his footwork right, to play in the scheme that Pete Carroll loves to, you know, deploy out there to the field, or, you know, deploy out there on defense. So Tariq Woolen, he just fits that mold because he's a tall, lanky corner. He's about 6'4". He runs, I believe, like a 4.3 40 and had like a 40-inch vertical or 42, 43-inch vertical. Like his numbers are astronomical. Like, they're off the charts. He's very athletic, and I believe he was a former receiver, just like Richard Sherman. So I wanted the Colts to get him because I believe he fits Gus Bradley's system, but also because he's a raw product that you can really mold and you know, he's like clay. You can really mold him to be the type of corner you want him to be and play in the type of scheme that you want him to play in. They drafted Tyreek Smith, another defensive end out of Ohio State, and then they got Bo Melton. Bo Melton, very athletic wide receiver, fast receiver, smart receiver. So you add some more speed to that offense. They already got Dwayne Eskridge from last year. You still got Tyler Lockett, and you still got, they just extended DK. Matter of fact, DK, Debo, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, all them boys got paid this offseason. And it's 3 to 4 year deal, so it still allows them to get another huge contract while they're still in their prime. So that's a good look for them. I want to say they're all making somewhere around $52 million guaranteed. So they're doing well. But you still got Debo, you got Tyler Lockett, you got Dwayne Eskridge, you add Bo Melton to that. So I really like what Seattle is, and this is crazy coming from me because y'all know I'm not a Seattle fan, but I like what Seattle is building over there, or building up here. They've added a lot of pieces, and if these draft picks can pan out, then I say this was a successful draft. I believe you'll probably get maybe, I think Charles Cross will be all right. Kenneth Walker will be good. Abraham Lucas will be good. If Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen can be what you need them to be in that defense, this was a successful draft because you still have Blitz Boy, Jamal Adams back there. And I know I probably shouldn't call him Blitz Boy, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't really care. You still have him back there. And then you still have Quandre Diggs back there, who I believe they just signed as well. They drafted Trey Brown last year. And before Trey Brown got hurt, he was actually looking pretty good out there. Then they add some players in free agency. Artie Burns, cornerback. Justin Coleman, cornerback. They add Marquise Goodwin. So that's another good addition. Even though he's a little bit older, that's another good addition where you get another veteran receiver in there. And they also added the defensive tackle, Quentin Jefferson. So they made some notable additions on defense that I believe will help them, you know, help them moving forward. I think they're going to be a lot more competitive this year than people want to give them credit for. I don't think they're going to be as bad as people think. Now, they still got to navigate the NFC West, but I just don't think they're going to be as bad as people think they're going to be. And really, I think it just depends on the quarterback play. So if Shane Waldron can get Drew Lock in a good place, or get Geno Smith in a good place to where they can be very productive, not turn over the ball, make their reads, if he can, you know, simplify it a little bit for them, then I think they will be in a good position. This offense looks like a lot like – it looks a lot like what they did for Russ his first few years, where, you know, you build up through – like you just run the ball. Like you run the ball. Your quarterback has to do the bare minimum. He just has to make plays every now and then, not turn over the ball. And you just let your running back and your offensive line handle business. And you let your defense do what they need to do. And I think that's kind of how they're building this team to get back to what was winning them games before. And like I said, I like the direction they're going in. This might have been one of Pete Carroll's best drafts, in my opinion. Because, I mean, usually he trades back in the draft. He does all this. He does all that. He utilized his picks this draft. He did what he needed to do, and he got players that I think will help that team win games. So look out for the Seahawks, man. Like, y'all think this rebuild is going to take longer, but I think they're closer to the finish line than at the start. I think they're closer to the finish line than the starting line. That's what I really think about the Seahawks at this point. It just depends on Drew Lock and Geno Smith. And if neither one of them pan out this year, and let's say it's a pretty bad year, but let's say they still get, you know, a first round draft. Well, not still get, but like they pick somewhere in the top 15. Then you can grab your quarterback next year, and then you can protect them. You can protect your quarterback like you protected Russell Wilson for his first 5 years in the league, where you had a stout defense. You had a stout running game. And you, like I said before, your quarterback just had to make plays every now and then and not turn over the ball. So maybe that's what we see from the Seattle Seahawks going forward. But like I said, I think they'll be more competitive. If they get a top 15 pick next year, they probably get their quarterback, and then they move forward business as usual and still be competitive in the AFC West. Cause really it doesn't matter what team is good or what team is bad in that division. They play each other hard as hell. You rarely see any blowouts, and it's a very close defensive. I'm not going to say defensive game, but they're very close games. They know each other well. They play each other well, and sometimes the worst team gets the best of the best team. A lot of times they split. So, I want to see the Cardinals swept the 49ers last year, but the 49ers made it longer or made it further in the playoffs last year. So, you know, it's just some crazy things that happen in the AFC West. So, y'all be sure to look out for the Seattle Seahawks, man. Don't sleep on them. Be sure to keep an eye out on them. Keep an eye on Tariq Woolen. And keep an eye out on Kobe Bryant. I do need to check their see how their camp is going, but I believe in those two dudes. I believe those two dudes are gonna make it happen on defense. Man, that's all I have for y'all, man. That's all I have for y'all today. Like I said, don't be shocked if y'all see OBJ pull up in that blue and white with the horseshoe on his helmet. Don't be surprised. And I understand, you know, he's coming back from his ACL injury. And he probably won't be back until like November or something like that. But that's the perfect time to make that playoff push. If we're doing good already and we add OBJ around November, we could do some things a lot like the Rams did last year. So y'all be sure to be on the lookout. Don't sleep on my Colts this year, man. They looking good. I'm seeing some good things. And Drew Ogletree, the tight end we drafted, I think late, like in the sixth round or something like that. Hey, dude might end up being the steal of the draft this year, because I've been seeing when they put them pads on, Andrew Ogletree has made his name known. He made his name known in OTAs, and now he's making his name known in camp. So be on the lookout for him. He might do some good things in the preseason, in the preseason games, because I'm pretty sure he's gonna get some burn. So be on the lookout for him. You know, it's gonna get nasty up there in Indy. Y'all heard me say it. It's gonna get nasty up there in Indy. Y'all just be sure to let people know who told y'all, because when it happens, don't be surprised, because I'll let y'all know. But anyway, that's all. Like I said, that's all I have for y'all. Y'all have a good weekend. I'm about to go to the lake, and I'm gonna be out on the lake all weekend. So y'all have a good weekend. Enjoy. Hopefully it's sunny where y'all at. And, you know, take a shot for your boy. But until next time, y'all be easy. Peace.